joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline from Scotiabank Arena. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm watching you guys on TV on a delay. I'm trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about because I wasn't listening. But, you know, I'm just kind of watching you guys. And it's actually, you sound better with no sound.
Yeah, well, I think that's a compliment. I'll take it.
Sometimes, Ray, it's better to look intelligent than to open up your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, Hayes picked up his papers a few times. That looked official.
Yeah, I'm very animated in here. I'm moving a lot. You would think I'm doing something important. I'm not at all.
But, well, we're not, but.
Yeah, well, we were talking about these new proposed rules in the NFL and how they're going to expand the practice squad. And we're all kind of ignorant to the inner workings of a practice squad, but Craig was saying that based on his knowledge and what he's just found, you can make like $8,000 a week.
$8,400 minimum this year.
And then over the course of a year, that's like $140,000 to never play and just practice.
I'm all in. I'll be a linebacker.
So, yeah, except you got to go to practice and get hit. Oh, I don't think none of us want to do that.
No.
I read this unreal story about these two guys. I want to say they were in Pittsburgh, but it might have been in Philly. And they basically lived in their car. They were on the practice roster. They'd sleep in the parking lot, and they had their clothes hung up, you know, around the car. And they'd eat. You know, they'd go into practice facility. I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning. There's breakfast there. There's lunch there. They'd take home stuff to eat. They, you know, you got the whirlpool there. You got your treatments. It's like, so for half the day they were living like kings, and for the rest of it they were living in a car.
Well,
it was a crazy story, and I'm like, I didn't even really know that would exist.
It's tough on the relationship if you're trying to date. Want to come back to the car?
Yeah, I play for the Cowboys, but I live in the parking lot.
I'm in a van down by the river.
And not only that, I've got my buddy in the front seat.
Yeah, keep it down.
Yeah, and it's laundry day. All of our clothes are outside of the car. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. Rick Tocchet, a couple of years ago when he was an assistant in Pittsburgh, he took me through the practice facility there. And you got Joe, he goes, if I got called up and I know I was only called up for 3 days, I just live right here. He goes, like, he showed me all the sleeping areas they have, everything, just what you were talking about. But he said, I wouldn't even go in. I just live right here.
Yeah.
Now, well, remember when you were, you know, in your early 20s, right? And you got your apartment, and nobody's got any food at that time. You're eating in a restaurant or eating whatever you can, you know, come up with. I got a tour through the Red Wings' new facility when it just opened up. And so I walked through, and I see Dylan Larkin there, and I said, why would you have a home? Like, they've got a chef standing by in the kitchen. He's like, oh, yeah, I come in the morning and have a couple of eggs and an omelet and stuff. And then, you know, after practice, you have your shake and your lunch, and then you could take stuff home. I'm like, no wonder these guys don't leave and do anything. Everything's handed right into their hands.
Is there, like, a salary cap element to that? Like, are you...
No.
So,
no.
Yeah, I guess not, right? But it seems like a pretty big advantage for certain teams.
But now it seems like every team has it, and certain, like, not even just a little bit of it. Remember, you used to walk between the dressing rooms and the place smelled like a hockey rink. You go down there on game days, and they've got the food rolling in certain rinks that, you know, in their lounge, that's where the guys take their pregame from. It smells like a restaurant. It's like it's a completely different world than we wandered through, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not a rink anymore, man.
No, we're speaking of rinks. What's the vibe down at that rink? Do you feel any tension, or is it just kind of business as usual, or what?
No, I wouldn't say it's business as usual. I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking when Florida was here, you know, whether you sense a big game or not. And I said, nah, it's kind of everybody's doing the same thing. Not today. Like, it almost feels like they've talked enough about whether they're ready. They've talked enough whether they have any urgency. They, you know, the coach has mentioned the common thread or the common denominator is urgency and a lack of, I forget the word he used, but, you know, commitment basically to detail game to game. And it's so, like, I think everybody's kind of a little bit on the doubting side of the ledger here. That's just what I sense in the few people that I've talked to, and you see the scouts coming in and have a quick chat with them, and they're like, ooh, things aren't going so well here. And everybody's waiting to see how they come out of the shoot tonight.
Yeah, well, Jason Spezza was trying to put a positive spin on it, and I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, he said it might be good for the playoffs if we deal with this adversity.
Yeah, and that they're in a position that, you know, they want to be in because they're technically playing for something, and they are. But
I'm always a big believer that this is not a bad time for a slump because you can get through it and you're fired up and ready to go in the playoffs. But you got to be comfortably in the playoffs. The Caps are in a slump right now, but they've got enough points where it's not a major issue, and they can deal with it and be ready to go come playoff time.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they're two completely different things. And, you know, in your rant yesterday, you know, you mentioned about, like, what are they? Like, what is their style? What is it supposed to be? And I don't think the Caps have that same question, right? They might not be executing very well right now, but they've got a good idea about what they're supposed to be. And the Leafs can say they know, but do they really? And do they know that it can be effective or not? And the answer is they don't. Like, you can say, oh, they had a great run in December and January, and, you know, that's nice. However, it's not like buckle down time, and they've lost their way for sure. And the other part to that is, so they go and acquire Dennis Mulligan. I know they're trying to make some low cost moves to upset the apple cart in the bottom six there, but they've really committed to this style of play. Like, Mulligan is not big. They talked about, oh, he's small, but he's really competitive. Great. Fantastic. I watched Boston yesterday, and man, they've got their bottom six. They can move, and they're big. Like, for the most part, they're big and they run over people. And they've committed here in Toronto to playing a different way. And so it's hard to switch halfway through, and get a whole bunch of new players. So Mulligan kind of fits what they've been trying to do.
You know, Ray, I was watching that game last night with Edmonton and Boston, and I felt the same way. But you know, just when you talk about small players, and, you know, when Austin Matthews was asked yesterday, because he played with Mulligan in Zurich, the first words out of his mouth, well, he's a small guy. Like, that was the first thing that was mine. And I always keep in mind, Brian Murray, he always used to say, you know, if you have a, you know what you are, if you have a team full of small little players, you're a small little team.
So that's why Brian didn't like me, eh?
No, I
kind of like the lollygag.
Key term there is team full of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we used to beak at each other pretty good. He would give it to
me. You and Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was so competitive. So competitive. But eventually, you've got to be able to impose your will on the game. And Toronto wants to impose their will with their puck possession, with their skill, with their speed. And they haven't been able to do that. They're increasingly losing puck battles more and more regularly. Through our buddies at Sports Logic, like, in the last five games, their five worst possession games of the season, like when they chart the 50-50 puck battles, nothing else, just here's a 50-50 puck, who gets it? Three of their worst five games are in the last five games. Like, they've lost their way. Now they're thinking, they're reaching, they're trying to cheat, they're trying to get it back, and they've lost their way. Until they get right back to getting to work here, they're going to have a trouble. Now, I'm going to use them as an example because I just walked by here, but Bob Airey just walked by. So when the Penguins were just beating the crap out of everybody in 91 and 92, and they were winning the Stanley Cups, those great teams, they had players like Airey that every puck battle was the whole game for him, right? You have to have, there has to be a mix for it. And outside of Zach Hyman, I don't know if there's been enough of that or if there is enough of that here.
Well, Jeff and I were talking yesterday about those Red Wings teams, and, you know, they had Fedorov and Yzerman and Larionov and Kozlov. But as Jeff pointed out, they also gave you a dose of Lapointe and McCarty and Draper and Maltby and Dandino.
And Shanahan.
Holmstrom.
And Holmstrom, like, yep.
They remember one of the most ferocious brawls of the last 25 years was Detroit.
Yep.
Colorado.
It was Detroit and Colorado, man. And, like, yeah, they had all kinds of skill, but nobody has ever attempted it with almost no size and will, right? Like, that's what we're seeing from Toronto. I'm most curious tonight, guys. This isn't about X and O's or anything else. Well, what do they got?
Yep.
What are they coming out of the chute with? Are they going to be aggressive? Are they going to play with will? Are they going to play with backbone? The rest of it, that'll all sort itself out. But tonight, that's really, for me, that's the only thing it's about.
Is there one player in particular on the Maple Leafs that you have the spotlight on?
No, not really. Ryan? Not really, because I mean, you can say it could, you know, can this guy lead the team? Well, they're in a point where they need a lot from a lot more from a lot of people. So you can look at the top end and say, yeah, they need more out of there. You can look at their third line. So all of a sudden, Engvall's gone no goals in 16, and Kapanen, or 17, and Kapanen's got one goal in 18. That's two-thirds of your third line. Like, you can't win with only part of the guys going part of the time. And the best example is, when they drop the puck tonight, all they have to do is look across the face-off circle and look at the Penguins and how hard they play and how skilled they play. But when their skill isn't there, man, you've still got the hardest working, oh, you've called him the best grinder in the game, in Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I think so, he's the best, hardest working, best player in the world. Like,
In
the history of the game, the hardest working, best player in the world. That's what he is.
So just think those nights when maybe, even for him, the puck doesn't go well, right? He's grinding. Yeah. And I would say it's pretty fair to say Toronto doesn't have that or hasn't shown that yet.
Where does Sid still rank for you in terms of getting to call games? Individual players.
Oh, I love it. I'm so intrigued with how strong he is and like how he's able to like single-handedly change the course of a game. Those are the guys that really are, you know, are my favorites, because, and the other thing with him is he plays with a joy. Like, there's a joy in what he's doing, and you can see it in the way he plays. He just walked by the other way there. Every time I see him, I mean, he's built like a cement truck. Like, I don't know how tall he is. Is he 5'11"?
Barely.
Oh, my gosh. He's just like a tank. And I love watching the games. I love calling the games when the best guys are in them. I mean, those are the very best.
I'm fascinated by his hockey stick. It's really short, and it's a straight blade. It is a straight blade.
What would you have done with that?
I used to use that, too, because Dougie Gilmore was my favorite player growing up, and I'm like, I want to use a straight stick like him. So in junior, I had a straight stick. And then those one pieces came out, and I just tried the standard Sakic banana curve, and I'm like, yeah, my shot's 100 miles an hour faster with this thing.
Sorry, Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah, sorry, Dougie. The love affair's over.
Change. I'll tuck my shirt in if I can, but that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, you're right about Sid and how entertaining he still finds the game, or how much excitement comes with it. But what I love about him is the emotional swings. I mean, he can go the other way, and he can look downright furious pissed and yelling at himself and teammates and coaches and refs, and he'll get into scrums.
That was something Ole mentioned about yesterday. It's what you get paid, but you're here to win. And so maybe as you get older, you understand that more. I don't know, but man, he leads through example more than anything else. I can't imagine he's in the room giving these great speeches. That just doesn't seem to be his way. But, man, everything is about the win. And that's the example that the Leafs have to get to. It's about the win. They've already, the big four, they've already been paid. Whether they get two goals or 72 goals, they've already been paid. It's about winning.
Well, switching that over to Edmonton, they lost in, was it overtime last night?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have done more than just survive without McDavid, without Cassian, without Neil, without Klefbom.
Didn't play last night.
Yeah. Chris Russell has his detractors, but like, and it sounds like McDavid.
And he was out last night.
Right, exactly. Russell. Exactly. And McDavid's going to take the trip, and I believe I saw Rashard report that he hasn't ruled out playing tomorrow night. Man, would that be an accomplishment getting through without him?
Well, to get through this stretch without him to hold your head above water, of course, that's a win for them. They played hard last night. They looked a little shell shocked early. They got outshot like 10-2 in the first period, and then after that, I mean, they shut down the Boston power play, which is awesome. But they had seven chances, or the Bruins did, and they just, you know, the penalty killing held them in. Mike Smith was good in goal. They kind of did. You know, they get a power play goal to get to overtime, and then, you know, they don't win. But I think they've done a terrific job here. And Kenny Holland said today that, you know, for a player with term, he would put his first rounder in play. And that speaks pretty highly of the job Dave Tippett's done with this team to get them into this position.
Are we giving Dave Tippett enough credit, Ray?
Tip never gets enough credit. He's a fantastic coach. Yeah. You know, I certainly know him really well from when we played together in Hartford. And, you know, I always say about Tip that he was playing a system before we even had a system. Like, we just used to go out and play, and Tip knew where to be and where you should be. And he coaches with detail. He's honest. He's fair. I think those are a couple of, you know, real key words for, you know, when you're coaching in the NHL is players want the communication, but they want you to be honest and they want you to be fair. And Tip is that. And this has been a big change in the way the Oilers play, and it's been a much more organized season under his leadership.
Well, when I was after the news of Klefbom getting hurt, I said, geez, this could be the thing that sinks their season. And then when I watched the game last night and everything you just pointed out about Tip, I walked it back last night on SC and I said, no, it's not going to sink their season because of Dave Tippett.
Yeah, he is. I mean, look at the good news they've gotten, though, from their system. And this is, of course, predates Tip and predates Ken Holland. And that's, you know, they've gotten a terrific player in Ethan Bear. Caleb Jones has taken a monumental step forward. Kyler Yamamoto has been everything they'd hoped for in their first round pick from a few years ago. So they've got some performances from some guys out of the farm there that speak that maybe their scouts have done a pretty good job. They have unearthed some players that other people aren't talking about. You know, not the number one, number two overall picks, but these are guys lower in the draft. And they put them together, they've hung in there, and they're in that crazy division. So, you know, today you're in first, and tomorrow you're in fifth, and there's still a long way to go there.
Yeah, that division, that's going to be a blast the final couple months here. The Pacific.
Unless you're in it.
Well, yeah, true enough. But, you know, you're looking at a scenario where we could see Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary in some order, 1, 2, 3 in the Pacific. And I don't think anyone suggested that was even a possibility in September.
No, I do think Vegas will take a leap here. I think Alec Martinez was a real nice pickup for them. And so I think that they'll take a leap and maybe get into that mix. But nobody's running away with that, I don't see.
No, they're all right there. And then Winnipeg, just on the outside looking in. And, you know, they could be a wild card team. And I don't think they're going to catch Colorado or St. Louis or Dallas. Look at Dallas. Now Dallas is sitting atop that division like St. Louis has come back.
Shouldn't we talk about Dallas soon?
Yeah, they're built really well, man.
Yeah, they're gonna do some damage, I think.
Yep, they're a good team. Well, we'll see. All right, buddy. It'll be a fun one tonight, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a good night, guys. We'll talk to you.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland. Leafs Penguins on TSN 4 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio.